The latest intelligence report says Al-Qaeda has restored its operating capabilities to its strongest since 9/11. According to a U.S. counterterrorism analyst, the terrorist group has utilized its safe haven along the Afghan-Pakistan border and has repositioned itself to better attack the West. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN's new...
This is the Quality News Network. Senate Democrats are calling for a special counsel to investigate whether Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez lied under oath in an expanding investigation into the dismissal of federal prosecutors last winter. Democrats are planning to subpoena top presidential aide Karl Rove. The Dow Industrials are down 318 points at this time. We'll have details in our business segment. A car bomb killed 20 civilians and injured more than 60 in central Baghdad today. The explosion rocked the Karada Commercial District, just south of the U.S. Embassy and Iraqi government offices. A South Korean envoy has arrived in Afghanistan to try to convince the Taliban to release 22 South Korean hostages kidnapped last week. One of the captives was shot to death yesterday. A retired three-star general criticized for misleading investigators could be stripped of a star. According to the Defense Department, retired Lieutenant General Philip Kessinger misled investigators when he said he did not know until after Corporal Pat Tillman's memorial service that the man's death in Afghanistan was likely the result of friendly fire. A federal judge required the U.S. government to pay more than $100 million in the case of four men who spent decades in prison for a 1965 murder they didn't commit, after the feds withheld evidence of their innocence. House Democrats will introduce a compromise amendment next week to start pulling troops out of Iraq. The measure calls for U.S. forces to begin leaving in 2 months, but permits President Bush to decide when and how to complete the withdrawal. Iraqi's ambassador to the U.S. says the Pentagon has been failing to provide his country with the basic weaponry it needs to arm its security forces. He says his government has had to turn to other sources, like China, to purchase guns. In northern Syria this morning, sweltering summer temperatures ignited an explosion at a military arms depot. At least 15 soldiers were killed and another 50 injured. In Los Angeles, federal drug agents raided 10 medical marijuana clinics yesterday, arresting personnel and seizing materials. The bust came the same day the L.A. City Council began discussing legislation demanding the DEA stop attacking the clinics, which are legal under state law. In Dallas, several gas tanks exploded in the busy downtown area, injuring 3 people and forcing thousands to evacuate. Firefighters say the cause of the blast was a malfunctioning connector to acetylene tanks. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business next.
Hey, what's he doing?
What?
That guy is changing his oil in the street and letting it run right in the storm drain, which pollutes the bay. I totally wouldn't serve him that.
Dude, what can we do?
Call 1-800-CLEANUP to report anyone dumping oil, antifreeze, or paint in the street.
This way, fools like that can be fined.
Tell everyone to call 1-800-CLEANUP.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
New York City cab drivers announced plans to strike over the city's decision to put global positioning systems in every taxi. Cabbies say they can't afford the steep installation costs, and they fear the tracking technology violates their privacy rights. MySpace.com maintains that it's committed to deleting sex offenders from its popular social networking site and has been working hard to identify them. This comes after a Connecticut lawmaker announced that 29,000 sexual predators had profiles on the site. Nevada leads the nation as the state most drastically affected by global warming, according to a new report. Climatologists say 2007 is likely to be the warmest year ever recorded. Southern and Eastern European countries are baking under a deadly triple-digit heat wave, which has already claimed more than 700 lives. The Tour de France is being torn apart in a widening doping scandal. 2 teams this week were ousted when members tested positive for drugs. Oil prices topped $77 a barrel today on Asian markets. Uncertain credit markets and the impact of those crude oil prices dealt a blow to the markets today. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 316 points. The NASDAQ is down 64 points. The S&P 500 is down 38 points. Hyundai Motors announced its quarterly net profits rose 52% from the same time last year. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Lindsay Martell.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time on the contempt citations. I think they're very important. I think they are the beginning, finally, of some accountability for this administration. They are things that I have pushed for on this program and other programs that I do for some time now, for some years. I'm glad they've gone forward. My friends, it's just the beginning. The Senate Judiciary Committee today issued subpoenas to Karl Rove and J. Brian Jennings, with Senator Leahy, the chairman of the committee, saying that he tried to cooperate, he tried to do this voluntarily, they refused, they are stonewalling every request, and therefore he needs the information from them. If they refuse, I have no doubt that they will also be held in contempt, and I'd love to see Karl Rove behind bars. Now, as I explained yesterday, the general practice when Congress holds someone in contempt, based on a law that's been on the books for 150 years, I looked it up, dates back to 1857. The general practice is that as soon as Congress holds someone contempt, it is the duty of the U.S. Attorney in the District of Columbia who is required, who shall, according to the law, bring it before the grand jury for its action. Now, shall in the law is mandatory. When you shall do something, you are required by law to do something. It's not may, which is permissive. It's shall. We all know how the English language works. The President of the United States has already said that if contempt citations are brought, he will refuse to obey the law. He will refuse to execute the law. He will intentionally violate the law and order his subordinates in the Department of Justice to disobey the law as well. My hope is that they will understand that their duty to the law and to the country is higher than their duty to the President of the United States. Now, that's the way it could go. It'll be very interesting if the President does that. I think that's an impeachable offense. Even Arlen Specter, the Republican minority leader, the leader of the Judiciary Committee, the ranking member, was very concerned about a president saying, in effect, I can do what I want, I can refuse all documents, I can ignore all congressional oversight, I can unilaterally declare that I've got executive privilege, and you can't test it in the courts, because to test it in the courts, you have to bring a contempt citation, and my prosecutors bring those contempt citations, and I'm ordering them not to follow the law. Checkmate. When he interviewed Attorney General Gonzalez yesterday, I think it's 2 days ago now, when he gave testimony, it was Specter who asked some very tough questions. Can our constitutional republic survive if the president has no checks and balances? If Congress has no oversight role, and even the courts are excluded from determining claims of executive privilege because no one can bring them to the courts. Now, there is an older procedure, one that hasn't been used in more than 70 years, one that dates prior to 1857, one that hasn't had to be used since 1934 because, frankly, prosecutors under the 1857 law do their job. The inherent power of contempt, the one that's straight out of the Constitution, the one that the courts have said derives from Congress's power as a co-equal branch of government. We may have to go that far, my friends. We may have to go into a constitutional thicket because we've never had a president before that's been this disobedient of the law. But I'm going to play today. Sometimes I know sometimes the best thing for me to do to give you the inside scoop, to let you know the news the government doesn't want you to know, which is my sacred honor to do. Sometimes I just got to stand out of the way, let you hear it for yourself. I could not convey, and I'm pretty good, some say, but I have no power to convey the amount of stonewalling, the seriousness of the questions, the way Gonzalez wobbles and weaves. I'll tell you, he's got me so convoluted, I'm mixing up words. And the seriousness with which Senator Spector deals with it without playing it for you, so I'm going to play for you a good deal of the beginning of Senator Spector's comments with Gonzalez. And, you know, just like I played for you Chuck Schumer's yesterday, sometimes you just got to hear it for yourself. Now, the hearing is almost 4 hours long. I don't expect all of you to see it. I will do my best to winnow it down for you. But I want to play this for you. It's very important that you hear it. It's very important that you understand the depth of the administration's stonewalling and refusal to obey the law. And plus, I'll be around to comment and to give you legal niceties and explain to you what some of these terms mean. So I'm going to start out right away. Before I even get to Senator Spector, the ranking Republican, and I want to show you him because it's crucial that this is not a partisan thing. This is not the Democrats trying to obtain power. It's Congress trying to retain its power under the Constitution. Before I get to Senator Spector, though, I do want to play just a little bit of the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Senator Patrick Leahy, when he asks about this question of whether or not the U.S. Justice Department will do its required duty under the express letter of the law, which has no exceptions to it, that when Congress, since 1857, holds someone in contempt, they're required to convene a grand jury and prosecute the case. They don't only serve the president. Sometimes they serve the Congress, and that's what this statute requires them to do, and that's the way it's worked for 150 years. He asked Attorney General Gonzalez about this. Let's listen to that colloquy.
Question is this. As you know, if the Senate or House finds somebody in contempt, they have to refer it to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, who has to then not necessarily prosecute, but at least present the contempt citation to a grand jury to determine whether criminal charges are appropriate. Last week, administration said that the U.S. Attorney wouldn't be allowed to carry out that. My question to you is, the House of Congress certified a contempt citation against former or current officials for failing to appear or comply with a congressional subpoena. Would you permit the U.S. Attorney to carry out the law and refer the matter to a grand jury as required by 2 U.S.C. 194 and therefore fulfill the constitutional duty to faithfully execute the law? Or would you block the execution of the law?
Mr. Chairman, your question relates to an ongoing controversy which I am recused from. I'm not going to answer that question.
Is there anybody left in the Department of Justice who could answer the question?
Of course there is. With respect to these kinds of decisions,
who
will be made by the Solicitor General?
Well, let me ask him whether on this refusal to prosecute that the administration talks about, whether that extends to executive branch lying to Congress or perjury or destruction of evidence or obstruction of justice, because, Mr. Attorney General, those are going to be real issues. They're not going to be just debating points. Thank you.
Okay, that's pretty strong stuff. So he says he can't decide, but the Solicitor General can. I will remind you, for those historical scholars, that in the Great Saturday Night Massacre, on a Saturday night when Richard Nixon ordered his Attorney General, at that time Elliot Richardson, to fire the special prosecutor who was asking questions about the president's criminal cover-up, he refused. He asked the deputy to, and resigned. Yes, the Deputy Attorney General, he refused. He resigned. So then it went to number three, the Solicitor General, at that time Robert Bork, who fired the special prosecutor. Similarly, in this case, Gonzalez has recused himself. The Deputy Attorney General McNulty is gone. And we're down to the Solicitor General, Paul Charleston, which tends to be a very political appointee. The last one was Ted Olson. He's the guy who took the Bush v. Gore case to the Supreme Court and actually argued that the Supreme Court, not the American people, chooses the president. We'll see what the Solicitor General does. If he refuses, then the only option truly is impeachment. Or the old inherent power of contempt. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. We're going to go to the ranking Republican after the break. You're going to hear Senator Spector, in some ways even stronger than Senator Leahy, talk about obstruction of justice and perjury and special prosecutor and all the ways Congress is finally fighting back against this administration. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed lesbian Bible study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your man.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We are approaching a constitutional crisis. They call it a crisis whenever the president and the Congress are at loggerheads and have to fight each other. But actually, I don't consider it a crisis so much as an opportunity and a strength. praise for our founding fathers and mothers, praise for a constitution that has withstood 200 some odd years and has always provided for checks and balances. A constitution that says that the President of the United States is not our dictator, is not our all-powerful, that there are indeed two co-equal branches of government. Now, I'm going to play next Senator Spector's questioning of Attorney General Gonzalez, actually his opening statement and his questioning. Actually, I think just his questioning. We'll get to his opening statement later if there's time, but understand what's at stake here, what they're talking about, and if it's unclear, I'll stop it and explain. A lot of this relates to the testimony that I did a very long story on, and if you haven't heard it, go to Bush as Don Corleone on my website at RadioInsideScoop.com, the broadcast archive. But the testimony of James Comey, the second in charge under John Ashcroft a few years back, the deputy attorney general then, who was acting attorney general, when Attorney General Ashcroft was under the knife, sick with gallbladder surgery, was sedated. And Alberto Gonzalez, who was then the lawyer for the president, comes in knowing Comey's in charge and tries to get Ashcroft to overrule him. Now, the question is, what were they talking about? Well, according to the eight members of Congress who were briefed, according to the FBI, and according to earlier statements by Attorney General Gonzalez, it was over this terrorist surveillance program. But now, Gonzalez says it wasn't. Or it was that and other things. You heard yesterday, and if you haven't, again, play yesterday's show from my website, the amazing testimony before Chuck Schumer, who says, now, are you sure? Are you sure it's something else? Are you sure it's something other than? And he says it was. Let me tell you why this is important. One, it's important because he's lying and we can get him for perjury. But the other reason it's important is that if he's not lying, and it was on something else, then the president never informed Congress about it. Gonzalez is in a catch-22. If it was the terrorist surveillance program, then he lied about it. He said there was no serious disagreement about it. And clearly there was, if they're trying to trick a sick, sedated man into signing an illegal law. So if it is about the terrorist surveillance program, then Gonzalez is lying. He says it wasn't, and he's lying when he says that there was no serious disagreement about it, and he can be cited for perjury, and they're talking about doing that with a special prosecutor. But you know what, if he's telling the truth, if it was some other hitherto unknown intelligence program, then Congress was never informed. And the president has committed a far more severe breach than just Congress. The president himself, then, has done a secret illegal action, so illegal, so unlawful, that the top three in his department, even Toady Ted Olson and John Ashcroft, wouldn't sign on to it. And he didn't even tell Congress about it. Whichever way the truth lies, my friends, it's serious, it is dangerous, it is lawless, it is secret, and it needs to be gotten to the bottom of. I will now play for you some of Gonzalez's testimony before Republican, ranking Republican, Arlen Specter.
Let me move quickly through a series of questions. There's a lot to cover. Starting with the issue that Mr. Comey raises, you said, quote, there has not been any serious disagreement about the program. Mr. Comey's testimony was that Mr. Gonzalez began to discuss why they were there to seek approval. And he then says, quote, I was very upset. I was angry. I thought I had just witnessed an effort to take advantage of a very sick man. First of all, Mr. Attorney General, what credibility is left for you when you say there's no disagreement in your party to going to the hospital to see Attorney General Ashcroft under sedation to try to get him to approve the program.
The disagreement that occurred and the reason for the visit to the hospital center was about other intelligence activities. It was not about the terrorist surveillance program that the president announced to the American people. Now, I would like
Attorney
the opportunity...
Attorney General, do you expect us to believe that?
Well, may I have the opportunity to talk about another very important meeting in connection with the hospital visit that puts it into context? There was an emergency meeting in the White House Situation Room that afternoon. It involved senior members of the administration and the bipartisan leadership of the Congress, both House and Senate, as well as the bipartisan leadership of the House and Senate Intel Committees, the Gang of Eight. The purpose of that meeting was for the White House to advise the Congress that Mr. Comey had advised us that he could not approve the continuation of vitally important intelligence activities despite the repeated approvals during the past 2 years of the same activities.
Okay, assuming you're leveling with us on this occasion. No, I want to move to the point about how can you get approval from Ashcroft for anything when he's under sedation and incapacitated for anything.
May I continue the story, Ms.
No, I want you to answer
Senator,
my question.
Senator, obviously there was concern about General Ashcroft's condition, and we would not have sought, nor did we intend, to get any approval from General Ashcroft if, in fact, he wasn't fully competent to make that decision. But there are no rules governing whether or not General Ashcroft can decide. I'm feeling well enough to make this decision.
But Attorney General Gonzalez, he had already given up his authority as Attorney General.
And he
was no longer Attorney General.
And he could always reclaim that. There are no rules
while
about...
While he's in the hospital under sedation?
Again, we didn't know... We knew, of course, that he was ill, that he had surgery.
Not making any progress here. Let me go to another topic. Attorney General, I wouldn't, and I'd like to have a lot of time, but I've got 3 minutes and 43 seconds left and 7 topics to cover with you.
Let me just interrupt briefly. You heard the sound in the room. Hear what he said? Yeah, I knew Comey was in charge, but Comey had said no. So I'm asking the Attorney General to revoke the authority he gave Comey while under sedation. No wonder people laughed in the room. Just had to emphasize that point. It's amazing. It's amazing what the man admits to, much less what he's covering up. Listen to more.
Mr. Attorney General, do you think constitutional government in the United States can survive if the president has the unilateral authority to reject congressional inquiries on grounds of executive privilege, and the president then acts to bar the Congress from getting a judicial determination as to whether that executive privilege is properly invoked?
Now, I want you to make sure you got that question. It's a vital question, vital to our constitutional republic. Can constitutional government in the United States survive? In other words, this is a threat to our very functioning as a constitutional republic, as a democracy. Can it survive? Specter asks. If the President of the United States can unilaterally decide that something is executive privilege and deny Congress not only the opportunity for oversight, but also refuse to allow it to even go to the courts, which would normally do in a very perfunctory process, the U.S. District Attorney in the District of Columbia is required by law, as I pointed out, he has a duty or she has a duty, he or she shall bring this to a grand jury, and then they bring it to the courts, and the courts decide. That's how it works. That's how it worked to bring down Richard Nixon. Specter, the ranking Republican, asks the Attorney General, can our constitutional government survive if the President of the United States can unilaterally say to Congress, screw off, F you, it's Cheney might say, go F yourself. I'm not allowing you any oversight of my government. Go play with your marbles. And I'm not allowing you to bring it to court either. It's a powerful question. It's a vital question. Now listen to Attorney General Gonzalez dance around the answer.
Senator, you're asking a question that is related to an ongoing controversy, which I am recused. I will say the president has tried very hard.
No. I'm not asking you a question about something you're recused of. I'm asking you a question about constitutional law.
You're asking me a
I'm
question
asking
that's
you whether,
related to an
whether
ongoing
you can
controversy.
Have a constitutional government with the Congress exercising its constitutional authority for oversight if when the president claims executive privilege, the president then forecloses the Congress from getting a judicial determination of it. That's a constitutional law question.
Senator, both the Congress and the president have constitutional authorities. Sometimes they clash. In most cases, accommodations are reached. In the very rare instances, they sometimes litigate it in the courts.
Would you focus on my question for just a minute, please?
Sir, I'm not going to answer this question because it does relate to an ongoing controversy in which I am recused.
I would note, please, we'll have the corpsman here. Senator Spector, right to ask all the questions he has. The Attorney General has right to be heard. I've indicated to Senator Spector, especially because I'm taking some of his time in saying this, he has extra time. But please, let us continue without comments.
I'm not going to pursue that question, Mr. Attorney General, because I say it's hopeless. Got nothing to do with your recusal. You're the Attorney General. You're also a lawyer. And we're dealing with a very fundamental controversy where the President is exerting executive authority under executive privilege and the Congress is exerting constitutional authority for oversight, and we're trying to take it to court. The court decides when that conflict exists. Got nothing to do with necessarily the U.S. attorneys who were asked to resign. Let me move ahead to another subject, see if we get an answer here. You have a conflict of interest on the matter involving the resignations of the U.S. attorneys?
Yes, I'm recused for that.
Does the president have a conflict of interest in deciding whether or not to allow a contempt citation to go forward to a former White House counsel, Harriet Myers?
Senator, I am not going to answer that question. Again, you're talking about asking me questions about a matter in which I am recused. I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, let's see if somewhere, somehow, we can find a question you'll answer. How about the death penalty case? I wrote you about this.
I'm going to stop the tape here. He goes on to mention a death penalty case where the Attorney General spent 5 minutes deciding whether a man lives or dies. This is a case where the man that prosecuted this person, and the prosecutor himself, recommended against the death penalty because there were serious questions about it. And Attorney General Gonzalez says, go ahead, execute him. That's not what I want to talk about because it's not the topic of today's discussion. Though it is the week in review, and you're welcome to call in and discuss anything, really. But I'm going to try to go over what Spector said and explain, and if there's any questions about what's going on, because I realize this is complicated, but it's also essential that you understand, vital to our Constitution. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. I've got Dave on the line. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, if I understood what I was hearing there, he was for a time trying to deny that that was not even the matters that they were there to deal with, about. But
that's exactly right. He was, Gonzalez is changing his story. And now his story is that it wasn't about the terrorist surveillance program, but some other intelligence matter, which, by the way, contradicts not just all eight members of Congress who were briefed, but also contradicts the head of the FBI, Robert Mueller. But that's his story, and that's why Schumer yesterday was trying to very carefully put him on the record and say, are you sure, sir? Is this possible for perjury, sir? Are you absolutely certain it's another program? It's something else. And he said it was, and now Leahy inspector giving him a week to see if he wants to revise his remarks. But something's going on here, and it gets more and more interesting and curiouser as the Democrats work to get to the bottom of this.
I thought he went back to acknowledging that that's what he was there about. But there's a thing I wanted to raise with you that I think we should be pondering, because if this White House crew remains in the same mode that we're answerable to nobody, we make our own laws, and you have no right to oversee us, if they remain in that mode, and the day comes when the sergeant-at-arms and U.S. Marshals arrive in the White House to arrest, apprehend members of that team, and we then have them surrounded by Blackwater thugs saying, no, you don't get to take these people. It'll be very, very interesting.
The only time I can remember from U.S. history when something very similar to this happened was in 1867 and 1868. At that time, the Secretary of, I believe the Secretary of War was Henry Stanton. And the Secretary of State was Seward. And it was Lincoln had died, and Andrew Johnson was President of the United States. And there was a huge battle between the executive, Andrew Johnson, and the Congress, who run by Thaddeus Stevens. In fact, they ended up impeaching Johnson, you may remember from your history books. At that time, Congress was... It's very complex. I don't remember all the details. But basically, the Congress and the President were disagreeing over some of the things that Stanton had said. And I believe it was Congress that was out there trying to hold him in contempt. And he barricaded himself in his office. He literally refused to come out. He was in the White House, and he refused to come out. They didn't let him go out, but they sort of guarded the door. And so the president kind of protected him in his sanctuary, but he literally was imprisoned in his office for several years while the president and Congress fought it out. And that is the historical precedent. I think that if the president refused to turn over Harriet Myers or Karl Rove, and they're actually in the White House, I don't think the sergeant-at-arms has power to go there, but they have power to trap them in there, and it would be an amazing... Can you imagine just the coverage? You know, day 43 of Karl Rove hiding in the White House, refusing to come out for justice. It's an amazing thing. It would be even more amazing in 2007 than it was in 1867. And that's where we're headed unless they work this out over the August recess.
It would be consistent, though, with the MO of this White House crew to say we don't respond to inquiries from anybody. We make our own laws.
It would be, but at some point, they've got to realize that this is counterproductive. I mean, when it happened to Andrew Johnson, he was impeached.
Yeah. And I think if this happens again, I think even Pelosi, they'll all start coming around to an impeachment.
I'll tell you, I think the Democrats are playing this very smart. I give them credit, okay? And I know that you want them impeached, Dave. I want them impeached, and I know that. And most Democrats do, and many independents do. But I think they're playing it smart. Legally, they can impeach him now. But politically, they can't. And so they're ratcheting it up step by step by step. First, the House Judiciary Committee votes to hold them in contempt. Now they're going to wait a whole month. Then the whole House will vote in September. And then we'll see whether they refuse to allow the local prosecutor to bring it to a grand jury, as required to do by law. And then only then, I think, would they consider articles of impeachment. Step by step by step. Even Specter, Arlen Specter, mentioned the possibility of impeaching Attorney General Gonzalez. That's an amazing step. An amazing step. But he mentioned it as one possibility, along with special prosecutors, along with perjury. At some point, it's got to get too hard for the administration. It took them 4 years to get rid of Rumsfeld. It may take them 4 more months to get rid of Gonzalez. But at some point, the pressure will be so severe that Congress will have to either impeach the President of the United States or the President will have to give in. And I think this president will give in rather than be impeached. But it's a fascinating thing, just as a constitutional scholar, just to watch this clash. Because usually the president gives in, because everyone recognizes that Congress has oversight power, everyone except this president.
Yeah, I see.
Anything else you want to say, Dave?
Well, I see that we've got hardcore criminals there that just don't... I can envision a day when they say, we do not accept your impeachment. We do not feel that you have constitutional authority to do that.
At that point, I think the Army, would stop listening to their commander-in-chief. They would recognize, you know, if they impeached Cheney and Bush, the generals would understand that Nancy Pelosi were commander-in-chief. I think at that point there would be an uprising.
Thank you for your thoughts, Mark.
What's that?
Thank you for your thoughts on this.
Thank you for calling, and I appreciate that. And, folks, I know this is complex stuff. If you want to call in, I'm going to give you a chance to do so. I'm going to take a break now. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-G-A-D-O-N. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. When we come back, I'm going to get a little bit off the contempt stuff and talk about what Congress is probably going to do before they get out. It includes health care for children and some other important things. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, S-H-E-A-R-S. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you for Saturday evening.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Well, Chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Pat Leahy, put it succinctly. He said, Attorney General Gonzalez, I don't trust you. That's pretty strong language in the diplomatic speak of our Senate. For a man to say to another man to his face, I don't trust you. You're lying to me. It's not just about Attorney General Gonzalez. There's a incredible op-ed in today's Washington Post by P.X. Kelly and Robert F. Turney called War Crimes and the White House, talking about the tortured new interpretations of the Geneva Conventions. And yes, the pun was intended. The tortured new interpretations. They write, one of us was appointed commandant of the Marine Corps. by President Ronald Reagan. The other served as a lawyer in the Reagan White House and has vigorously defended the constitutionality of warrantless National Security Agency wiretaps, presidential signing statements, and many other controversial aspects of the war on terrorism. But we cannot in good conscience defend a decision that we believe has compromised our national honor and that may well promote the commission of war crimes by Americans and place at risk the welfare of captured American military forces for generations to come. They point out that Article 3 of the 1949 Geneva Conventions, which was upheld by the United States Supreme Court and gives minimum standards for all persons who are captured, no longer taking part in an armed conflict. In all circumstances, detainees are to be treated humanely, the Geneva Conventions say. There is no exception for, quote, enemy combatants, unquote, a phrase that appears nowhere in the Geneva Conventions. The article, they point out, expressly prohibits, quote, at any time and in any place whatsoever, any acts of violence of life and person or outrages upon personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatment. Now, in the McCain anti-torture bill, the White House got an exception for the CIA. They have now issued an interpretation of Geneva Convention Article 3. They say, the White House, that the CIA fully complies with all its obligations under the Geneva Convention as long as its interrogation techniques do not constitute willful and outrageous acts of personal abuse done for the purpose of humiliating or degrading the individual in a manner so serious that any reasonable person would deem the acts to be beyond the bounds of human decency. Now that's legally gobbledygook. Let me translate for you. We're not torturing anybody and we're following Geneva Conventions. As long as, while torturing someone, while putting bamboo shoots under their fingernails, while attaching electrodes to their genitalia, while putting them on the rack, while waterboarding them, as long as we're not doing it for that purpose, if our purpose is to get information, say, or we have any purpose other than intentionally humiliating or degrading somebody, it's not torture. Got it? We can put you on the rack. We can put bamboo shoots under the fingernails. We can freeze you till you die. But if our purpose isn't to humiliate or degrade you, then just the fact that we are humiliating or degrading you or torturing you, it's irrelevant. We've complied. To give you an example that you may understand, if we were to do the Nazi medical experiments conducted during the Holocaust, and our goal was not to harm people, as the Nazis did, by injecting tuberculosis in people or by cutting off their arms and legs, but for science, then it's okay. And it all goes to our subjective purpose. In other words, we can torture you as much as we want as long as it's not our intent to torture you. Maybe it's our intent just to find out, where your money is, who your friends are. These authors, including Robert Turner, who himself has agreed with things that I find unconstitutional, warrantless wiretapping, presidential signing statements, they say the president goes too far. They say that you can't look at the subjective understanding of the torturers. Can you imagine the Nuremberg trials? Nazis, did you mean to gas all those Jews? Oh, no. We were just doing a scientific experiment. Oh, it's okay then. They write, in other words, as long as the intent of the abuse is to gather intelligence and not done for the purpose of humiliating or degrading an individual, you can conduct all the willful and outrageous acts of personal abuse you want. It is firmly established, these men write, the treaties are to be interpreted in good faith in accordance with the ordinary meaning of the words, and the language in the executive order cannot even arguably be reconciled with America's clear duty under Common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention to treat all detainees humanely. They write, in April of 1793, Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson wrote to President George Washington that the nations were to interpret treaty obligations for themselves, but that the tribunal of our consciences remains, and also the opinion of the world. We must see that in judging ourselves, we have honestly done the part of impartial and rigorous judges. They point out that the war on terror, all the people dead in Iraq and Afghanistan on September 11th, is only about 2% of the losses we incurred in World War II, less than 7% of our losses in Vietnam, and yet in World War II against the Nazis and in Vietnam against the Viet Cong, we respected the Geneva Conventions. And lastly, they conclude by reminding us that policymakers should keep in mind that violations of Common Article 3 are war crimes for which everyone involved, potentially up to and including the President of the United States, may be tried in any of the other 193 countries that are parties to the convention. That's strong stuff. Strong stuff from two Reagan Republicans. The President of the United States can be tried for war crimes. Now, this, I have to tell you, this executive order, I got to tell you, and I'm embarrassed about this, but I'll admit it, I didn't see it in the Washington Post or the New York Times. I didn't read about it. You know, I got better ties to Congress than I do to the President. I'll admit that. Thank God these two men mentioned this executive order in the op-ed, because the mainstream media isn't covering it. Gosh knows Tony Snow, appropriately named Snow, isn't telling us about it. It's not just Attorney General Gonzalez, my friends. The very meaning and structure of what it is to be an American, the very nature of who is an American and what our country is all about is at stake here. And when the President of the United States authorizes torture, as long as it's not for the purpose of torture, it is indeed a war crime. I'm going to take a quick one-minute break, give you a chance to call in if you want to. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. We'll be right back after this.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Got just a few minutes left. There's still a lot to say. It is the week in review. I want to finish with Specter and Gonzalez, but before I do, I just need to tell you about a few other things. Congress is going to get a bill out, I think, before they go home for recess. This bill will do three important things. One, it will provide health care for poor children that has been notoriously lacking and that the president opposes. He thinks poor children should die in America rather than increase taxes on tobacco, because we all know the president supports a deadly, addictive drug, as long as it gives him money to his campaign, and he's more than willing to sacrifice the lives of America's children just to help the nicotine companies. Number two, Homeland Security. Basic protection. Not going off on some mission in Iraq, but actually providing things like transponders so that rescue workers can talk to each other even in an emergency. You know, do you not, that on September 11, 2001, as the firefighters rushed into the World Trade Center and the first one came tumbling down, everybody in America, all of us who watched that horrible, horrible thing knew that everyone's lives in that second building were in danger. You saw one fall, and you knew at that moment, sickeningly, that the second one would fall too. And people tried to get those firefighters who were bravely risking their lives to save others to say, you know what? You can't save them. Get out and save yourselves. And hundreds of lives could have been saved if we simply had the kind of equipment that even in an emergency, when everyone's calling everyone's cell phone, would work. They didn't have that. And hundreds of brave police and firefighters died. We asked for this in 02. I was there. The president threatened to veto. This is in that bill. Third thing in that bill is congressional ethics reform, which is vital, absolutely vital, in the post-Abramoff years. Congress is going to go forward with this, and I think the president will be hard-pressed to veto it, but I don't care whether he does or he doesn't. If he signs it, it's good, three good laws. And if he vetoes it, then all of America will be very clear about which party supports the American people and which one does not. I'm going to conclude with a little more from my now favorite Republican, the ranking Republican of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Arlen Specter. At this point, he's talking about how they could have accommodated all the White House wanted, secret testimony, not under oath.
As to why each one of these U.S. attorneys was asked to resign, and that has not been done. We have sought an accommodation to question the remaining witnesses, and I believe that the administration has not had any significant degree of flexibility in trying to work it out with congressional oversight. I believe we're prepared to concede that there won't be an oath, because there are penalties otherwise. Prepared to concede that they could be in private, although they ought to be public. It's the public's business. Prepared to concede that both houses wouldn't have to engage in the questioning of these witnesses, that a representative group from the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee, bipartisan, bicameral, would do the questioning. But not to have a transcript, I think, is patently unreasonable. But I'm prepared even to do that if we could get on with this matter, reserving the right for Congress to come back if the informal interviews are unsatisfactory, then to proceed with our authorities under subpoenas. And we are met with the response, no, if you question these witnesses under our unilateral terms.
I have to stop just because time is running out. Let me very quickly explain. Specter is saying, I'll take no oath. You can talk to me not under oath because I know you're afraid of perjury and you want to lie to us. I'll let you do it in secret and not do it in the public because I know you don't want the public finding out about your nefarious activities. I'll even allow you to say no transcript so that when you lie to us and we tell people you lied to us, you'll be able to deny it. But I will not allow you to say that if you lie to us, we can't come back and get a subpoena. I have no power to waive Congress's power. And for that, our inspector, a Republican, is my hero of the moment. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
News Network. The Dow Jones dropped more than 400 points in trading today, the second largest plunge this year. We'll have the closing numbers on Wall Street coming up in our business block. Senate Democrats have called for a perjury investigation following Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's congressional testimony earlier this week about whether there was dissent within the president's administration about the warrantless wiretapping program. FBI Director Robert Mueller contradicted Gonzalez when he said today that the program was a topic which was discussed at then-Attorney General John Ashcroft's hospital room, although he was not present in the room at the time. The Democrats also announced the subpoena of top presidential adviser Karl Rove in connection with the firing of 9 prosecutors last year. Justice Department documents reveal that Gonzalez discussed the matter with Rove. In a mostly Shiite area of Baghdad today, a parked car bomb blast killed at least 26 people. More than 75 were wounded. Also today, the U.S. military reported the deaths of 5 American troops in fighting northeast of Baghdad. House Democrats have a new draft of an Iraq funding bill for 2008. It would require a troop withdrawal to begin in 2 months. President Bush would decide when the pullout would be complete. Pat Tillman in Afghanistan in 2004. He is accused of providing misleading information about his death. A top envoy from South Korea is going to Afghanistan to try to save 22 of his country's citizens who are being held hostage by Taliban kidnappers. The South Korean missionaries were taken last week. One of the victims has already been shot to death. There are reportedly 18 women in the group. Republican presidential candidate Senator John McCain's campaign shakeup continues. The latest resignations are his advertising consultants. At the Long Beach airport today, a suspicious item found in a checked bag forced the evacuation of a terminal. The item appears to have been a video game.